You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Bienvenue. I can't even get more than one word out of it. Bienvenue à Toulouse
pour le centre de delivery, the Airbus.
Centre de delivery. You think that's really right?
Nope.
Welcome to another ridiculous attempt at foreign language on Dots, Lines, and Destinations. This is Seth hosting this week, and I'm joined by Ben Barup of the Aviation Beat. Did I get that right?
At
the Aviation Beat. That's his Twitter, and I'm assuming Instagram as well.
Yep.
I haven't confirmed. There we go. And we're both here hanging out in Toulouse. Airbus brought us over for the reveal of the new A220, formerly known as the C-Series. And I wanted to pick Ben's brain a little bit on one of my biggest concerns coming into this trip this week, which was, is this really news?
It is news.
Okay, good.
The name changes.
I'm glad we didn't waste time.
The name change isn't the news. The news was the new leadership structure for the C-Series. The executive team, half from Airbus, half from Bombardier, that hopefully get a lot of orders next week. But we're not making forward-looking statements because this is a podcast that's pre-recorded.
Yes. Well, we always make statements. Some of them are forward-looking. None of them are accurate. That's the important part. I would tend to agree with you. There are some little bits here and there that came about. Obviously, the name being new is new. 220, it's an interesting choice. I think the goal is to blend it in with the 320 family, and so it's the baby.
Yeah.
Is the little brother of the 320 family or the baby A350? I also heard it called by one of the executives today, so that's an interesting sort of approach to the naming. The goal is to make it part of the family.
It will take some time to get used to this name.
It will take me a long time to get used to being able to type A220 and not go back and fix it on my phone or keyboard. My fingers just aren't wired for that sort of thing.
I think I'm going to be like the people who will forever call the 717 the MD-95.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to forever call
C-Series
this
C-Series
the C-Series.
Yeah, and that's sort of one of the important things is it is just the C-Series right now. They haven't made any changes to it other than the branding and sort of owning it. Now, that's not to say changes aren't coming.
They claimed that changes.
They teased, because they didn't guarantee anything, but there's a couple things that they teased. And so on the cabin, which is sort of my main focus generally, one of the interesting bits was the talk about sort of bringing the airspace cabin theme, which is the new 330neo. They're bringing it to the 320 on JetBlue. I think next year will be the launch customer for that. And there are some of these little tweaks to sort of make the cabin experience consistent. The 350 also has airspace, right? And so the idea is that Christine Degagne, who is the new director of cabin marketing for this joint venture, she'd kill me if I got her title wrong. She was talking to me about one of the things they're doing is like the design language and things like cabin bin latches. Stupid little thing, but very important. Every passenger interacts with one multiple times on a flight, and to have a common latch to open and close the bins actually creates a sort of familiarity for passengers and makes you remember you're on that, you know, this friendly airplane that you know and love and whatever, assuming you actually love it, but that's the goal also. And delivering it that way and sort of being able to integrate those things. Now, she didn't say that specifically that those latches would necessarily change in any of those things, but I think when they look at sort of some of the economies of scale they're trying to realize and this design language stuff and everything else, it makes sense that getting a matching bin clip, one fewer part number to stock as a spare, all those things. And so from a passenger experience, that's great. And then it also translates into some of the efficiencies that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe you can talk a little about that. Some of the stuff they were talking about are sort of trying to bring the costs down that way.
Yeah, that's one thing in my Airways magazine article that I just published about this. I wrote a little bit about the Rockwell Collins and how they are being purchased by
BE Aerospace.
Nope.
Oh, UTC. Sorry.
Yes, United Technologies.
Sorry, it was the other way around.
Yes.
BE got bought by Rockwell, which is now bought by UTC.
So UTC bought Rockwell, and UTC was already the largest, you could say, component part maker for the C-Series, and then Rockwell was one of the next largest ones. So now combined, they have a lot of power over this. So Airbus,
they're like more than half the total components, UTC is, aren't
they? Something like that. Maybe a little bit less.
Okay. Roughly half.
Yeah,
approximately half.
Like
catch my language. Use my big words.
So I think, you know, the cost going down. They have that one big company. If they can get something together, and it all comes down to, do you want your margins for these suppliers? The margins will go down, but of course the volume if the margin, if Airbus is successful at making this the next A320 with thousands of units, then that would pay off in the long term.
Yeah.
I want to go back to those cabin latches, though.
We just
walked through the cabin. It's an amazing interior.
This is your first time on it, right?
Second,
okay.
I was on it in Atlanta.
When they brought it down for Delta. Okay.
But walking through here, and I was playing with the latches.
Did you break one?
No. But they're kind of cheap. Not going
to
lie.
Doesn't feel right to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this isn't anything bad about Airbus, because they didn't make those.
Yeah. Okay, well.
But that's something they can improve upon.
Then I'll call Christine up and tell her she needs to accelerate that integration process,
because
Ben thinks the latches feel cheap.
And if it's on a test aircraft and it's like that, I mean, I would expect that to be like a really great interior.
Yeah, I think there is some potential to sort of streamline a lot of those things on the interiors. It's going to be nice. You know, one of the other interesting things they teased was the idea of airlines being able to sort of have, they didn't quite say commonality, but being able to shift seamlessly between the C-Series and A320 family aircraft and calling them like sort of, for the smaller airlines and for, smaller demand and things like that. And do you think we'll ever get to a point where it gets common type rating or close enough to common type rating? I mean,
It would have to be something like the C-Series Neo, maybe in 15 or 20 years.
You think it's
like
that far away?
Yeah, because, I mean, the cockpits, they have the side stick and whatnot, but no, Airbus isn't wanting to go into the cockpit and change up the avionics package that it has or give it a common type rating. So they said that they did hint at that a little bit today, but that was a very long-term project.
They did tease a lot, like with the side stick and stuff, but trying to figure out how they could do that and keep the existing C series rating while also bringing it across would be pretty complicated.
Now, here's something interesting. I can't remember what the guy's name was. The second speaker today,
Rob.
Yes, Rob.
The guy from Bombardier.
Yes.
Whose name we should really remember.
Yes. So he was talking about lengthening the fuselage. A reporter after the press conference asked him about that, and he said that the 300 is actually the base model for it, while the 100 is the shrink.
Yeah.
So a 500 would be a natural lengthen of the fuselage. But I think it might be possible to go beyond a 500. I think we might actually see a day where there's a 700.
Really?
Four different types.
You think they could do it on the same wing?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm no aeronautical engineer, but maybe.
Well, I mean, I guess at that point, the question is, why do you stretch that versus selling people a 320, 321?
Which brings up my second part. That would be a natural transition away from the 320 to the next generation of that. We're talking really hypothetical stuff that I probably shouldn't even bring up. But
no, I like batshit crazy ideas. This is fun. Yeah.
As we take off, we see a luxurious EasyJet A320.
Yeah, so,
taking off
all in the family. I would say it's interesting. I haven't seen many Boeing products here today, coming and going.
I flew in on one yesterday, KLM.
Yeah, just saying, not a lot of them here.
Yeah.
Well, a couple Challengers, or not Challengers, Bombardiers, the 1000s.
Yeah, the 1000s.
Flying for up.
They're just hopping around,
Hey-o.
Southern France. But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's you ever see the photos of the Alaska, or not the Alaska, the Virgin America A320s going into Everett?
Right.
It's just,
and the 330, American does 330 maintenance up there too.
Yeah, it would be wrong to send them here. So
yeah, we did many years ago an event where we chartered a 753. And did a low pass here and then landed. And did a tour of Toulouse and did the factory and whatnot. It was a pretty cool event. But coming in on a 753 felt a little awkward.
Yeah. Delta?
No, we chartered a Condor.
Oh.
We did a domestic. It was Schengen stuff. We flew over here, sat on Lufthansa, and then that was a long time ago. I'll show you some pictures later. Anyway, what else is interesting about this new A220? I mean, is it to me is a lot of, I think the big question is, can they really get the marketing off the ground? And it's a cute little airplane, right? That the old John Leahy line where he used that as an insult a couple of years ago when
it
was in the market. And unsolicited, David brought it up today.
Yes.
David brought it up. David is the new director of the group.
I can tell you, David is the head of sales for the joint venture Airbus Bombardier C-Series.
Yeah, David Dufresnois.
It's called
Rob Dewar.
C-S-A-L-P.
Yes, the partnership. C-SLAP. Not SLAP, though. C-SALP. So they're doing... He brought up the... Oh, yes, we did call it a cute little airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still a cute little airplane. Suddenly, that's supposed to be a positive, not a negative. And I'm not entirely sure how that's supposed to play out.
Yeah, it will be really interesting, of course, with the Farnborough Air Show. In my article, plugging it, Airways Mag.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the notes.
No, you really don't, because you probably wrote a very similar article.
Not yet.
But I finished it by saying that, you know, Airbus wants to get this going mm-hmm. relatively quickly, especially before the Embraer E190.
The E2?
Yeah, the E2 gets some sales. And I said, if they don't get at least probably two or three substantial orders, doesn't have to be for large numbers of aircraft, but just, you know, some big names in the next week or two, I think that that would kind of be a bad sign.
You think so there's that big a play at Farnborough?
I do, because they've had, 270 days since this agreement was announced to get stuff going.
But they weren't really allowed to do any of...
Well, they weren't, but
they did it anyways.
But, you know...
Is that what you're implying?
No, our friends in Canada were doing it.
Sure.
Airlines knew that this was a stable platform on the program, finally. And I think a lot of airlines would have wanted to buy the C-Series over the years. They just didn't want to be put into a situation kind of like Delta is about to be in with the A330neo if AirAsia cancels.
Being the only customer.
Yeah, them and TAP.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, one of the things that was interesting, they mentioned the Mobile assembly line mm-hmm. and ramping up to 50 to 60 a year there, and then doing 100 to 120 in Mirabel and keeping those running. Now, there's one of our colleagues suggested that Mirabel, if they can't get their shit together, will lose their assembly rights and that stuff could move to Europe real quick. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably right from an efficiency perspective. But also, just the idea that, you know, 40% of the order book of the 400 airplanes, so 160 of the orders are in the U.S. right now. Yeah. And every time I hear that, I kind of want to be like, but a bunch of those are from airlines that aren't going to take deliveries because they were betting on scope clause changes or they or on not being bankrupt at some
Republic.
Point. So, yeah, Republic was one of the big orders. So
40, I think.
So those aren't happening. But, I mean, there are.
Crazy idea. As we sit here in the Airbus Delivery Center, we look across at some rather large buildings. It's the A380 facilities here in Toulouse.
Gosh, some spare space.
That's a lot of real estate over there for a program that's down to how many a month?
0.75? Yeah, not even one,
Yeah.
Interesting, but I'll counter that with they're going to need that for the 320 family, the real 320 family. They want to get to rate 70 as soon as the engine manufacturers can get their more stable.
I think Airbus is on this thing where they're just building the final assembly lines here, there, everywhere.
Well, I think it would be ironic and it'd be unfortunate, but and during the presentation they alluded to like it's good for the communities, it's good for all the families in Mirabel, it's good for the communities in Mobile, all that sort of thing. I would not be too surprised if Mirabel did lose manufacturing to Toulouse or Germany. One of the two lines there got shifted once things stabilized, and the new, you know, joint venture Airbus will market it as, you know, getting it closer to our customers and blah, blah, blah. But I think the reality is, and maybe we're being overly harsh. Maybe the problem is that they that Mirabel never really got things off the ground because of supplier issues or other things. It's not really their fault. But no matter how you look at it right now, it feels like it's their fault because it's not happening.
They've more than proved themselves time and time again with the CRJs. And
they really have. Eventually they can get it done right.
Yeah.
So. It'll be interesting to see how that shifts, but
there's a lot of real estate in Mobile.
There is, and they're going to put. Yeah, it was another interesting thing. They can use the same paint shop, they can use the same delivery center, but it will be a new separate line for the manufacturing stuff. So, not quite to the point where like Embraer can do everything on one line. We're not quite to that level of commonality, and I don't know that we ever will be.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a special livery dwelling going on. Interesting.
Well, anything to sell some ad space.
Hey, listen, better outside the plane than inside.
Exactly.
Although, with them, I'm betting they just did both.
Yeah.
Anyways, any other parting shots, parting thoughts? How was your flight over? You flew KLM, right?
I flew KLM, my first time ever flying business.
Nice. Got your Delft house?
Yes, I got that. It was a great experience. I fly Air France home.
Nice.
Hoping that they have the new business class on my 777.
Okay.
It's awesome. A lot of good stuff. A lot of HNA A330s here.
There are a lot of HNA A330s
here. Which means there could be a lot of secondhand A330s pretty soon.
Gosh, skeptical of that operation?
Let's talk about how many Qatar A350s are parked here.
How many do you see?
I see at least 5. And there's a lot of them in hangars. I mean, there's like 10 or 15 of them that are just parked around.
Yeah, the TAP tail over there. I'm guessing that's the other 330neo.
Yeah.
A couple Emirates tails are 380s.
Couple Emirates, got the Lufthansa A350.
Yeah.
A lot of HNA stuff over there as well.
Yeah. And, of course, the collection of gliders.
Yes. And there is a Spirit, and it looks like a Spirit A320neo, and that is just a conversion from a few months ago. They snagged a few neo spots.
For those who aren't familiar, the gliders joke I referenced there is all the 320 neos that are waiting for engines still.
Less than 100 now. It was like 89, I read.
Okay, so they've got still, that's a lot of planes sitting around that should have been delivered inventory already.
Yeah.
And some of them are waiting for engines. Some of them, are any of the China ones still waiting for permission as opposed to just waiting for engines?
Not you know? Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, you know, if you go to Mirabel,
yeah.
there's a lot of CS-100s parked. There's like,
all waiting
say,
for.
I want to say 6 or 8 of them right around there.
Yeah.
Out in the snow, just kind of.
Well, it's probably not snowing still in Mirabel in July, but.
No, probably not, but.
Could be. It's pretty far north.
It's pretty brutal on the aircraft and they don't have hangars for them. So,
yeah. Those waiting for engines also, or?
My hypothesis on it is that since there is a shortage of engines,
yeah.
they're just putting them over there for now. I think they will be kind of like Boeing and their terrible teen 787s,
sure.
where they'll eventually sell them. Might be 5 years from now, but yeah. it will happen.
Well, I mean, there is, yeah, and I guess they could, those could have been earlier delivery slots that were supposed to go to like Republic or something else that haven't gone yet.
And there's a lot of frames that were declined
yeah.
early. Swiss declined a few.
All right.
So
yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that was interesting. That is an interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I haven't yeah. been up there in a while. But awesome. Well, I flew over on British Airways by accident. I was supposed to be on American and ended up on an old BA-747.
Their business classes.
Here's the thing. I sleep so well in that seat.
Really?
It's a shit seat, but I sleep so well in it.
Did you have a backwards?
I was rear facing. I had to swap to get there. And the flight attendant says, "What, you want to sit?" And I was like, "I really want a window seat and I want to be facing backwards. And if I can't fit in a window seat facing backwards, I'll sit in the middle facing backwards." Yep. She looked at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I sleep better with my head above my heart. And the incline of the plane when it's flying, you get just that little bit. And it really makes a difference to me. So
you're the definition of an av geek.
That I know this sort of thing?
Yeah.
That I care?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, Ben, we can find you at The Aviation Beat on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's me.
Awesome. You can find Dots, Lines, and Destinations at Dots, Lines on Twitter, moredotsmorelines.com. You can leave us a comment, leave us some feedback, throw some dollars on Patreon. We really like those folks who do that. You get early access to the episodes, which, if we bothered to actually get them out early, is super valuable. 1 or 2 days early knowledge of what we're laying down.
We just laid down a lot of knowledge.
We did, and some people are going to get it earlier than others. Wouldn't you want to be one of the guys getting it early?
I would love to be a patron.
Anyways, alrighty, take care. Safe travels. Be waved.